Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. Welcome to A Wonderful Approach. We are doing radio this evening. I'm your host, Mama Seven, and we're here tackling another difficult topic. One thing about Wonderful Approach, we don't hesitate. You know, we have to be honest. We have to give people what they're looking for. We have to be right and exact to spirit. There's so much that's going on when we are having radio. So I do radio with a smile, but sometimes it's not always a smiling topic, okay? So I just wanted to share with everyone, because there are some new people that are joining us. We do radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. It's a spiritual show. But I truly believe that as above, so below, a lot of what is going on now has been spoken about, predicted, and unfortunately is necessary to bring about a new understanding that we're moving into, okay? So this is not a political show at all. We're talking about spiritual matters as they impact us right now. Sometimes spiritual matters do impact us right this second, but it's not a political show, okay? I want to make that clear. You know, we are not going to be pointing fingers and, you know, because, of course, we're talking about healing because it's a spiritual show. We're talking about mending. We're talking about, I don't know if anybody got the little Facebook picture, the picture that goes along with it. It's a picture of a really broken up heart. You know, it's been patched up, sewn up. It has past scars, current scars. You know, we're going through some things, you know. So right now is not the time for I told you so. You know, right now is not the time for, you know, the threat. Right now is the time for truly, truly creating an environment for understanding and healing. So that's where we are, okay? I want to talk about where we were last week. And if you missed last week's show, you can go, of course, to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. You can catch out the show. You can also go to, you spell it all out, awonderfulapproach.com, and the shows are listed there, as well as some other events and everything else like that. So the .com is up and running. Check it out. There's a store there, all kinds of good stuff. So, you know, take a moment to check that out. Also, another place where you can get the shows, okay? It's going to be important that we stay connected and that we keep positive energy flowing. We got plenty of negative energy going around. We got to get the positive energy going. Last week, we spoke to our millennials. For those that are new to Wonderful Approach, we're pretty diverse, you know, and I love it. We are different ages, different races, different orientations, different religious understandings. We're just different, and we celebrate those differences. So, you know, never that one person has to be something that they're not. We have a good time being who we are, and we have a good enough time learning who we are, too. So don't feel, you know, we don't feel the need to beat each other up on certain things, okay? We're having a good time, all right? So last week, I was feeling my millennial. Everybody is a combination of mad and confused and frustrated. So we had to have a moment to find out what our young people cared about, okay? Because a lot of times, us extremely knowledgeable elders will come along and will tell everybody what they need to be doing and how they need to be doing it. And for just a minute, we had to and listen to what our young people have to say, what they're thinking about, what they want. And so it was a wonderful opportunity for us to take the time to find out what's going on. On Sunday evening, and, you know, like I said, we do this every Wednesday. But Sunday, oh, my goodness, over the weekend, the United States of America just exploded. It exploded. And so we had a prayer call. And it was a wonderful prayer call. We didn't do a lot of advertising. There were still tons of people on the line and checking it out afterwards. We needed to pray our way into this week. And I know for myself, I feel so much better. After that prayer call, it helped me to release some of the pain I was feeling. And then what I've heard from other people is that it really helped them start to the breathing process. The grieving process, breathing process, you know, everything else like that. So those two shows were awesome. Please take a moment, especially if you have a millennial in your life. I think our youngest caller was 17, and with her sweet 17-year-old self, she was able to share with us some of the things that she was thinking and some of the things that she appreciated, and hopefully gave everyone one to grow on. You know, let's think about this, okay? And for my young people that didn't speak, you know, I want you to stay close. You know what I'm saying? Let's all stay together so that we can begin the healing process with each other, okay? Your elders, you know, I know it feels like we're always telling you what to do, but, you know, be wise. You know, so don't get frustrated. Stay close. So today we're going to be talking about mending America's broken heart, right? Again, it's not a political show, so we're not going into political issues. There's so many issues. We only have an hour and a half on the program. So it's not even a matter of individual problems. We're not going into fault. We're not going into all of those other things. Really, what we're trying to do here is find out what do we do at this point, you know? Too many times we want to go and look and point fingers and it's that person and this. None of that matters at this. All of that is what you call history. And we can't change history. Where we are right now is where we are right now. And so what we have to do here is talk about how do we begin to mend this broken heart. And, you know, even though we do have millennials on the call and checking us out, if you're over the age, I say, 25, you've had a broken heart. You know what I'm saying? You know how much that hurts. You know how much, really, you would do anything to make the pain stop. And this is where America is. And when Spirit was, you know, when I was working with Spirit, doing my meditations, in my prayers, in my white, in my studies, I intentionally, you know, eased up. I usually make 1,001 phone calls. I didn't today. So as I was really, really pulling in on myself and trying to make sure I understood what was going on and everything, Spirit kept leading me back to the heart. You know, you have to understand the brokenness of the heart, seeing how if the heart's not right, nothing else is going to be right. You know, if the heart's not pumping the blood well enough, it's not going to be right. If, you know, no matter what you try to do, with a broken heart, you get nowhere. So, you know, we have to take this particular challenge this way, okay? So tonight, and of course, this is a collective program. This ain't about me. This is about everyone coming together and sharing that solution, sharing that thing that kind of gets you through. You know, I have learned, fortunately and unfortunately, you know, I don't believe in right and wrong, good, bad, stuff like that. I believe in is. It is this. It is that. You know, your interpretation of it will make it personally good or bad for you. But I truly stay in the matter of is, okay? So as we're going through what is going on, we don't, like I said, the focus is not the problem. The focus is the solution. We are solution-oriented. You know, I'm not going to live in the past. I can't. They say this is why your rear view mirror is small compared to your window shield. Your window shield's huge because you need all that information. If you old school like me, I don't even look at that little mirror. I turn my head around and look behind me. But no, this is why our windshield is so large, because we need to know where we're going. We can't focus on where we've been. Now, we need that information to glance back for reference, for all that other good stuff, but the focus has to be forward, okay? So we're going to get into the forward, and we're going to get into the healing. What's going to heal this? You know, what's going to make it better? And, so we're going in on this one. We're going to kind of take the gloves off a little bit, but let's still focus on the healing part, okay? And you don't have to wait. You can press one whenever, and you can share where the healing is going to come in at, okay? And this is what we're doing tonight, and we have to do it. One thing about me, everybody knows, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm not sugarcoating it. If it hurts, it hurts. If it's good, you know, if it's good for you, I'll say okay, but mm-mm. So when it comes to starting the healing process, you know, Mama Khadijah is great for her list, and so she'll come out and tell us, okay, first it starts here, then there, then there, then there. Okay. I don't know the order, but I do know there are some things to help start the healing process. And, okay, first thing we need to understand is that everyone does not heal the same way, same time frame, in the same manner. Okay? So what may be very, very helpful for you may not touch my pain, okay? The things that are going to determine the depth of the pain is going to be the makeup of the person, you know? So if you are African-American, you're going to be feeling a certain kind of pain. If you are a man, you may be feeling, you know, an extra pinch here or there, you know? If you are, you know, I've been doing a lot of reaching out to my millennials because I feel them literally heart beating in the chest, adrenaline, I don't know what to do. I've been feeling that. But then Mama Khadijah got on the radio Sunday night and said, hey, your elders are feeling this too in a different kind of way. And so I think the first thing that we have to acknowledge is that everyone processes pain differently. And because of that, everyone's going to process healing differently. Everyone is going to look at their own healing in a very individualized manner, okay? And so if someone is not with you, like they don't get it, like they don't understand what your problem is, get that. They're not you. They haven't been through the things that you've been through. So, no, they're not going to process things the same. Okay? We're not supposed to be the same. God made us all individual for a reason. Even twins are individual. Even if they're identical-looking twins, they are still individual people that God has made separately. Okay? So, understanding that. So, when I say we're going to talk about healing, understand everyone's healing is different. It happens in different stages. It happens with different stimuli. So let's relax on that, okay? So we're not getting you. We're not all the way there. That's fine, too, all right? What's important, though, is that we start this process. So the sooner we start it, the sooner we can get finished, okay? And don't be mad at people who think they're finished healing. Remember, we're not all doing it. This is not a race, okay? So when, you know, Sister A says she done and Sister B says she done, we're not worried about that, okay? We all hurt differently. We all heal differently. Some of us are really quick healers. Some of us never stop picking the scab long enough to get a good healing going, okay? The first thing on my list Well, I think the first thing is understanding we all, you know, experience healing different. I'm writing everything down. Y'all know I come to the show with pen and paper. And the reason why I have to write everything down is because, you know, Spirit and I had this conversation earlier. And it's important that I go back and say, okay, Spirit, I've prayed about it. I've thought about it. I've discussed it. I got this extra information. Y'all need to call in, press 1, educate me how this is going to work. But, you know, I write this down because I'm guaranteed to be tested on it later. I guarantee there's going to be a pop quiz coming up. So don't allow, you know, this is just what we do. So experiencing healing differently. It's great. For me, the next thing is acknowledging it hurts. You cannot heal what you refuse to acknowledge. If you won't look at it squarely in the eye, then you're not going to know how to heal it because you don't even know what the problem is. We're talking individually, okay? Not talking about a collective. I'm talking about you. You have to acknowledge it hurts. If you are not okay, just say you're not okay. I mean, I don't know how anyone in the world, especially the United States, can be okay. I've been speaking a lot with my parents, both of my parents. My dad does a lot of work overseas, and he's had, you know, he told me so many of his friends overseas are hurt and confused and compassionate for the unrest that's going on. And they are asking him, how does this still happen? You know, why is this still going on? You know, I thought that you were the land of the brave. I was trying to get over there with you guys. So hearing, you know, how really disillusioned our international brothers and sisters are, they're just like, I didn't even know this was still a problem. So he was embarrassed and hurt and a whole bunch of other things by just having to acknowledge, no, we're still healing. We're not all the way there yet. We still have things to do. We still have places to go. We're still working on ourselves. And it was a painful, you know, he remembered feeling pain and feeling embarrassment for, you know, speaking to people in what we would call third world countries, you know, who have struggles of food and water, but, you know, we're over here, you know, treating each other in such a fashion. So acknowledging that it hurts is a really big thing. You know, and when you acknowledge that it hurts, I want you to acknowledge why this hurts for you. You know, we all have different issues. I know very well why this hurts for me. This hurts because I'm a mother. And I take my job of mothering very seriously. And so it hurts to know that I can't always do my job the way I want to. It hurts to know that, you know, some other mother is not going to get a chance to do her job. It really does, you know, that is my pain center. That is where the problem is, okay? So for me, like I said, acknowledging that it hurts, you have to acknowledge that. And understand your why. We may have all different whys, okay? And that's okay. Like I said, this is a very diverse problem, and it's as diverse as people. So that's part of it. The next step to mending America's broken heart is acknowledging that America has a problem, okay? And that's, again, with acknowledging the hurt. Let's stop and think, you know, not even about, you know, the current issues that are going on right now with the protests and the rioters and all these other special people. We had a problem before that. You know, we had a problem of, you know, of poverty. We have a problem, you know, this COVID-19 and this isolation has created other problems. You know, we have a couple problems here. And, you know, as we're beginning to mend the heart, you know, we can't talk about, you know, we can't talk about, you know, diabetes without talking about diet. You know, we can't talk about one problem without talking about all those other things that are close to the problem, okay? We can't talk about, you know, our weak heart, you know, how our heart is not as strong as it needs to be without talking about the fact that we're not exercising, you know? So there, we have to be very honest about understanding all the different aspects of our pain. So we have to acknowledge there's a problem, and there are a couple of problems. And so we have to really get real with that. Take off your sunglasses. You're wearing sunglasses at night in the dark, you know. Take off them sunglasses and start to really see some things for what they are. Let's start to really teach our children where's the problem in this, you know. And sometimes, like we did last week, sometimes you have to ask them directly, where do you see the problem at? You know, what do you see as the problem? What do you care about? So, you know, let's take a minute to figure that out. Another thing when it comes to mending America's broken heart is, again, you're talking about that pain. People respond to pain differently. I wish we could say there was a cookie-cutter approach to this. There's not. You know, during the day, I do behavior health. We talk about healing all day long between the daytime with mental health and in the evenings with spiritual health and everything else like that. And I can tell you, pain reigns supreme. Once something hurts, you're going to try to not touch it no more. You know, if you've ever had a toothache, you will avoid chewing. You like, look, I don't even want to eat anymore. This tooth is killing me, you know. So we try to do things to avoid pain. That's natural. I think that's just a human response. But unfortunately, us trying to avoid it is not fixing the problem. You know, I have lots of friends that live in nice big houses that are never impacted by some of the social challenges that America has. And to a degree, they kind of lose touch with some of those issues, some challenges. And but yet, they can all go back to a place where there was pain, and they understood that. And so, you know, even if in your life you don't have these worries, or even better, if you've made it so that your children don't have these worries, all that's good and wonderful. I think until we start having a more inclusive view of things, I think we're always going to kind of fall short on fixing the problem because we're not seeing the problem for what it is. And then the last point that I'm going to bring up is I believe we all have to take a level of responsibility for both the problem and the solution. And I know y'all going to fuss. I hope you call in and press one and fuss with me about me calling you part of the problem and the solution. But I believe that we are. We have to, one, see our own role that we're playing society in order to fix what's wrong with society. We have to stop pointing at others and being like, you're the problem, when we are participating in this problem, okay? Each one of us, no matter your job, your occupation, no matter how careful you try to be, because I really try to be careful. I really try to make sure I'm not engaging in negative behaviors and negative thoughts. And I mean, I try. But I know I'm not perfect. And I know I haven't lived an absolute perfect life. So therefore, I have to take responsibility, not for my part of it, before it. You're not going to be breaking off chips. You know, God, look, you don't want to go tip for tap with God. You know, you don't want to go say, okay, God, you know, I'll take this little bit, but I'm not taking that. No, no, you don't want to do that with God, okay? God, he carries too much of your balance. God picks up too much of our tab for us to go through and try to not take all this and not, oh, that's not my responsibility. No, no. We have to truly be open to being part of the problem, to be part of the solution. It's not going to get fixed by us only thinking about us and us only moving in ways that impact us. We can't do it. And that's not just us on this call, but those that are on the call and those that listen, we all understand that we are leaders in this. And so as a leader, we have to stop with the finger pointing and the name calling, and we have to 100% begin to understand how we all are part of the solution. Because we have all been part of the problem. Sorry. So as we're moving forward, you know, and it's so funny because I have all these great notes, and then I have circled in the middle of it, where do we go from here? And this is where I need some help. This is where I need that press one, because I don't know where we go from here. I know one solution is not going to be enough. I know, you know, there are people, oh, well, we have to work on this first. We have to work on that first. I don't know if there's a first or a second or a third, but I need to have some answers, because staying stuck in the pain, staying stuck in just one aspect is not enough. So we have to really, really kind of dig deep on this, you know, because I know, we've been focusing a lot on the problem. The problem's been getting plenty of press. I have not been hearing the solution. And we have to start thinking solution-oriented. We have to find the answers. So this is the time. If you ever want to give me a good piece of your mind, now's the time. Now's the time. Because without thinking solution-oriented, without thinking past right now, we will lose this battle. The heart will stop pumping. Without the heart pumping, we ain't got nothing. Okay? If this heart breaks before we can fix it again, we ain't got nothing. We have got to work together to come up with a couple of solutions. We got to think past tonight. This problem been here longer than a night. This problem's been here longer than a week. We have to think further. A year. My grandchildren. I need more. You know, so I have to do my part in this mending of the heart, okay? And I need some solutions. So I'm going to go to the phone lines to speak to the brave men and women. As we go forward, we're trying to get some answers. And I don't want you to think at all that I am taking this lightly, because I'm not. I have been up in arms about this whole event. But I really realize that more than anything, I'm brokenhearted about it. So we got to find a way to fix that, okay? So we're going to go to the phone lines and we're going to spend some time talking to my people. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. How are
you? Oh, you know, I'm going through it. I'm better than I was. How are you and your son?
Well, if you read my son's, oldest son's Facebook page, you would see how he feels about mending a broken heart.
Okay.
And it was deep. It was deep. Isaiah is a prophet, and he should have been a preacher or something, but he was deep.
Yeah.
A lot of it, we still have to keep faith, I believe.
Yes.
we have to still keep faith and know that God will work this out, or your ancestors, your wishes, whoever you pray to will work this out. I feel like every 100 so years, there's a cleaning process. And unfortunately, we've seen it firsthand. And we are devastated because we never thought that being as educated and intelligent as this world is now, that something like this would ever happen to us. We just have to stay in prayer, protect yourself as much as possible. People that are out there in the streets doing things that they shouldn't do, they need to understand that there's a right way and a wrong way to protest a situation.
Right.
And they are reverting back to being violent, and that's not the way to get a point across. It just makes the whole situation worse. And they don't realize that. They just think violence is violence for violence and arm for an arm and eye for an eye. And I know that's what the Bible says, but sometimes you dealing with political people who has power over us. And, you know, we don't, as a religious group, don't feel that Anyway, we as a political group don't feel, religious group don't believe they have the power over us. But in some situations, they do. You know, they control your money. They control your insurance, your life insurance, your health insurance, everything in the world. And
until the COVID situation came up, I thought I controlled my kitchen. You know what I'm saying? And then we had the shelter in place, and then I realized I don't control my kitchen. Kroger does a lot of controlling of my kitchen. And it surprised me. You know, I was like, wait a minute. Why am I not the one doing this and doing that? And control, I think, in the United States is an illusion. You know what I'm saying? We think we control this. We would like to control this. But you're right. We are very limited. And that can be super frustrating. I got so many people, they're ready to go live off-grid and everything else like that. And then I was told today, hey, there is no off-grid. Where are you going? You know, what do you think you're doing? There's not an off-grid. And so you're absolutely correct. That lack of control, and all that does is frustrates us even more. It's like, man, I can't even have what I thought was basic. You know what I'm saying? If I have enough money for rice and I want to get rice, I want to be able to just walk to my little store and come back. And I have learned in the last couple of months, it's not that simple all the time. And it created some real vulnerabilities and a lack of trust for the alleged powers to be, you know? And so, so going forward, and I have, like I said, I do know, what is control? You know what I'm saying? What is control? And what do we really control? You know, when we were doing our fast, we had some simple things we were supposed to control. You're supposed to control your mouth. You're supposed to control what you eat. You know, some very basic things. And you would have thought we were trying to get an act of Congress passed. You know, it was really difficult for us to learn just to control our mouth, to control what you say, you know. And I got almost rich off of a swear jar, and I was like, oh, my goodness. So, you know, how in the world can we go forward and let this country know, let our countrymen know, let our brothers and sisters know, hey, you know, we need some help, we need more control, but we're not even able to control our own mouth, our own language.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to die if we don't have a soda, you know. So it really exposed a lot of things. And, you know, I'm not thankful for the hardships that came forward because, of course, they've been really, really hard, really, really, really bad. People have lost life and people have lost property and, you know, it's been bad. But
right.
I look at everything as an opportunity to learn. And what I've learned has been really invaluable. It has made me have a different relationship with my fellow brothers and sisters and really, really forcing me to look at some of my own beliefs and hold them up against, you know, what the world is teaching us. Are my morals going to be bigger than what the media is pumping out? So it's been an interesting learning journey for me. It's been a hard one.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And you know, tonight I'm going to go and check out Isaiah's post, too, because I really want to hear, you know, and he ain't that young, but he's not that old either. I really want to hear what that generation has to say, because this generation is probably the biggest thing that has happened in their life of this magnitude. And so I want to know, did we properly prepare them for that? And any millennials that are on the line that want to share, you know, please share. Did we prepare you for this? You know, did you know what to do?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I think somewhat if you had your ancestors around, and they talked of, I was around for Martin Luther King. I was young, but reading about it and as part of our Black history in school, you learned a little bit more. You got a little bit more sympathetic. I was in college, and one of my classes, I had to watch the movie. Oh, gosh. I can't. It was a good Amistad. Ooh, my brain's working. I was the oldest because, you know, I kept going to school. I was the oldest, and I think maybe the only Black person, African American person, in the classroom.
Really?
And when we would, because it was mostly teenagers, and when the teacher started talking about it, and she kept looking at me, and I'm like, what do you want me to say? I know you don't want me to say what's on my mind, you know. but, you know, between Roots and Amistad, I think those are the two biggest, closest stories that would tell about what our ancestors went through. And our children, you know, even though it's old stuff way back, you need to know it. You need to learn it. You know, it will make you angry all over again, but it will make you cry. But as far as our young people today, I think they have their own standards. They have respect for themselves. Yeah. And they know that what's happening in the world is not right. What's happening in this country is not right. And the only way we can express ourselves without being violent is to press the government, you know. Do your petitions, do your go to the city council meetings, things like that, and express yourself calmly. You know, don't get thrown out by the police or, you know, whatever, but calmly, you know.
I hear your words.
Take a,
I swear, I hear your words.
take a couple of people from take a couple of people from the neighborhood.
Right. Thank you for being one of the brave callers to press that button first and get and help us get that started. You know what I'm saying? I so appreciate you. And you know, like I said, I hear you. I promise you I do. I don't feel you, though. And that's been a part of the problem is that it's like on one hand, like you said, I know what my brain, we're intelligent. I can read. I got 1,001 videos to watch. Feeling that I have, it is not in order with that. You know what I'm saying? And this is part of even conflicting feelings I was having with the young people because I was with them. I'm like, look, I'm with you. Look, get the gasoline can. I'm with you. But as a mother, as a woman who wants everyone to make it home, I don't want you to have to go to jail. I don't want, because I don't trust what's going to happen between this street and you getting to jail. I don't trust that. You know, I don't want us to have, you know, tear gas. And I don't want that. I want that. So I feel you. I feel the heart pumping. I do. I know it's pumping 1,000 miles an hour and it's a raggedy heart to begin with. You know, we already got challenges. Now you want to pump it all fast. I get it. It's so hard. It's hard to feel one thing but to know another, you know. So thank you, Sister Omisheyun, for always sharing and being honest. And you keep loving on them boys and protecting them boys while we in the middle of all this bananas. I'm going to stay with the phone lines because I want everyone to have an opportunity to speak. I want to say greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings.
Greetings. Hey, my little firecracker.
Oh, it is me. Okay. I had to see. Greetings, this is Sister Faith. Hey, Mama Seven. Let's look at Collective Family. I'm happy to have this show and speak about solutions because when this all started, and it started to ramp up, and I'm one of the people who probably called you and said, listen, I'm not okay because I was a lot like you. Let's burn it down. I went to my children and I asked them, how do we move forward? What is your resolve? And I have one who said, let's destroy it all and then rebuild it. I have another who said, love can change it. I have the third who said, we have to make our voices known. And looking at it from a point of view, I'm that in-between child. I'm the 70s child, born mid-70s. So I grew up in the 80s. I know all about militant ideas and actions. I went through the public enemy stage. I was in high school when Rodney King happened. Like, I remember. And I also remember a time in our community where we had a community where your neighbor down the street, Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, could say something to you.
Yep.
And you had
that
to heed that.
Would, not just could.
Would say something.
They would say
and
something.
And if you
to
were
you.
Bad enough,
right.
They'll get you. You know,
right.
I think that
right.
Understanding that we're in a space where the Most High put us on pause and then an eruption happened. And it's kind of like we know that the world will never be the way it was 2020. And so as going forward, we have to realize that we can talk about our faith all we want, but talking about it means nothing because faith without works is dead. We have to get into action. We have to be proactive. We have to say this is our community. We reclaim it. So when we say, when you first said it's our fault, how dare you?
Okay.
But the reality is, it is our fault. You know, our community has broken at the seams because nobody wants you to say anything to their child. our community has broken at the seams because I watch people walk by and throw things on the ground. Mm-hmm. Our community has broken down because we allowed drugs and crime to run rampant when there was a time that if you did wrong, we'd catch you.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
So I believe that going forward, as what we can do for ourselves, I really can't speak to the narrative that's being played in public. But going forward, I think that if we were to come together and build this code and live by this code, we would be able to stand united, not necessarily peacefully, because there's a time for war. There's a time and a season for everything. This
mm-hmm.
happens to be a season for this. It's the season for it. But
it is.
Not necessarily peacefully, but if something crazy like this was to happen, then they know they have to deal with a whole community that will take their finances away, a whole community
yeah.
that will take all of the resources that they bring to the table back. And so
that's right.
My solution is coming back together, becoming community, and being able to look at each other. And I can trust my brother not to pull a gun on me. And I can trust my sister not to stab me in the back. It's important. Community is what the action is going to have to take in my eyes.
Amen. Amen. I thank you so much. And, you know, I agree with all three of your children. I agree with all three of them at the same time. You know, so I believe love conquers all. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that if we did burn it down, we would have to build it over. You know, I do believe that, you know, compassion can help us put each other in a better place. So I agree with all of them. And I love mm-hmm. the diversity that they display by, you know, growing up in the same household, total different
mm-hmm.
impacts, total different ways to handle it. And that means you've exposed them to more than just one thing. So, you know, I appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, us hotheads are going to try to make it through, you know, because this has been difficult. Look, it has been difficult.
Trying.
So we're going to keep working on it, okay? You trying
mm-hmm.
and you're doing. You know, I'll let everybody know A Wonderful Approach is very much a grassroots movement. We do not have bail money. Do not start anything. I do not. All I got is gas money. I can come see about you. You know what I'm saying? But I don't have bail money. So we have to keep it on the low. We got to keep it decent. Again, all of this, like I said, we're talking about that heart. We're talking about how that heart moves. I love the idea of community. When we focus on our community, that means just what's right here in front of us, our neighbors, children in our schools, the children in your child's classroom. When you focus on them, we had something. It was manageable. It was a decent size. We could put some things together. But if we are focusing, you know, on everything globally at once, I really felt that's part of our breakdown. You know, I did grow up within a community. You know, I knew my community church was the church to go to if you wanted snacks. I grew up with, you know, her name was Cabbage Salt.
Mr. and Mrs. Cabbage Salt.
And they sat on the corner, and I swear she was the slowest gardener in the world. She wasn't gardening nothing. She was just outside looking at people and looking at us. But, you know, she'd be outside in her garden looking like she's digging in the dirt, not doing nothing. But she was there for us. And if you ever had a question, you'd say, I was right there. Ask Miss Cabbage Salt. My mom wouldn't even ask. She already knew that, man. I was right there, you know. You know, we had that. We had the elders involved in giving wisdom. If y'all have ever been around elders, they always had something to say, and I was like, good Lord. Every 2 seconds was a lecture. But I knew after the lecture I'd either get some candy or a quarter. I was good for that. So I would listen knowing that there'd be always a little reward. But I had the benefit of having so many people
and reaching out and pouring into and making me that better person. And so even at those times, we were stressed as a people. Even during those times, we had, you know, situations and everything else like that. It seemed to be a lot more togetherness in the middle of it. I never remember my mother battling alone. And I don't remember her hearing a battle cry and not going to answer it herself. So, you know, we, look, pack up in the car. We about to handle the situation. And we were like, okay, you know. So that was our world, you know. And so I feel the same way. I hear a cry. So it's time for us to go out and to fix the problem. This is what we do. So, you know, this is part of our solution. I'm going by what I saw work for us. What works in your house? What works in your neighborhood? You know, this is what we want to talk about. How do we begin to heal this heart that's broken, that's weak, that ain't been pumping, that's been kind of tore up for a minute now? You know, how do we heal this heart? Because we have to, because without the heart, we don't have anything. Okay, I'm going to stay with the phone lines. Don't get me started. We're going to greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Salafia, how are you?
Salafia, dear, how are you?
I am doing well, I must say. Thank you very much. And I hope others are doing well also. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Okay, awesome, because I'm in the car. So I appreciate Mama Selena. I love you, Sister Faithful. I love you. I love everybody. Thank you for providing this platform. And my heart and love goes out to everybody is listening, and those that are not listening, I'm putting love, peace, and positive energy out. However, I encourage people. There are two programs that I encourage people to go back and watch if they have the opportunity to. This weekend, I think everybody should watch The Matrix. Please watch The Matrix over again. And also watch Avatar, The Last Airbender. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I bring those two movies up because, one, there's nothing new under the sun.
No, ma'am.
Have we prepared our children? Yes and no, because we were caught in a matrix that we didn't know anything about. What happened in the 50s did not prepare us for what we were going to go through in the 70s and the 80s.
Right.
We're saying technology came upon so quick, the home, to where we allow television to raise our children. We allow other people to speak into the lives of our children. Even into our relationships and even into ourselves. Now, since these are telling lies to your vision, because that's what it does, it told lies, and now you're mad, and you realize that this is all a lie. Yes, this is not the first time that our brothers and sisters have been shot and killed, and it's just that now we have the opportunity to catch it on film.
Right.
And it can be distributed amongst the world quicker. You coming home, you being home before the street light comes on, is not just because your mother wanted to know where you was at. It was because at one time that was the law. You could not be on the street in black after a certain time. So those are the things that we passed on, but we never taught the reasons why, you know? So now we're in a situation where we have to go back, we have to think, we have to listen, we have to want to listen. And that's how change is going, because I was amongst one of those individuals that had that trouble during the devotion with my mouth. And I couldn't understand why my mouth, I think I cursed more in that devotion than I did when I wasn't on the devotion. You know, however, I realized that I was allowing outside influences to influence me. Why is that?
Yes.
What is that? Yes. Why can't I control the things that's going in my mouth? You have to understand, everything that's going on, this things that yes. led up to it. We have to, that's why I kept saying, you got to play checkers, not chess. You know what I'm saying? You have to plan out. So if we're really going to step forward and do something that's different, you're going to have to think. You're going to have to go back into history and also teach your children that your history did not start in slavery. See, we do a disservice to ourselves, our ancestors, when we allow ourselves to believe orally, but the books that they give us to read, that's our path. That is not our path. You know what I'm saying? You want to go back deeper? Sister Thaisa and I was on the phone last night, and we was in Deuteronomy. We was going, we was in the Torah. You know what I'm saying? That's how far back we were going. You know, we're looking at the stars. You know, where we're at right now, even in the planets, the way they are right now, these things, everything that's happening right now, it has the same energy as when Rome fell, you know what I'm saying, during the Rodney King issue. You know what I'm saying? To see all these things happening again and for us to be ill-prepared for it again, we have to stop and be like, okay, hold on, wait a minute. What can I do different? And I hope my children hear me, and I hope the millennials hear me. I hope those that come that understand that we need you. I don't need you to go out there and die for no lost cause. Because if you're going to lay your life down, something's going to be won.
If you lay your life down, something will be lost. You. Everything that you were to contribute. Everything that you were to build. Everything that your children were to give to us is lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, as a spiritualist, now that I've grown, I'm not saying I've never experienced that heat and fire. You know, I contribute to heat and fire, okay?
Oh, I know.
But as I've matured, as I've asked God to help and to bring healing into my heart, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's another way.
Mm-hmm.
And if we try, we have to try the other way. You know, we have to kind of look and see, okay, we've gotten this result. That's wonderful. We have to try another way. And that is where we're getting lost.
Yeah. And definitely trouble when you're angry and you're frustrated and you don't understand why you feel the way you do and somebody's pumping this into your mind and something and this and this and that. You know, like I told you earlier this week, it's not like my head was in the sand. But I purposely tried not to expose myself to too much of the media because I realized it was going to affect my soul, my mind. So in the midst of the storm, I was calm. And I was trying to be calm because there's going to be a point where everything that's going around, this has to be a point where it's like, okay, let me regroup. I was that, let me regroup. Because people were like, you okay? I'm fine. See, because when I do act up, you won't see me coming. You won't see me coming. It won't be a riot. It won't be that. You know what I'm saying? So you have
in
to think.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have a cast, y'all. I'm working.
In March, we all learned how hot A Wonderful Approach really is. We had a front row seat to find out how spicy and how strong that energy of A Wonderful Approach is. March 6th, we found that out. Then we come back and we have COVID, we got protests, we got riots, and we're like, no wonder. We had
yo. Yes.
We had
we're talking about
up.
The next weekend, it was like, yo.
The whole world exploded. The next week, the whole world exploded, okay? So
it was like, I need you to get these tools. I need you to get this information. I need you to get these things. I encourage everybody to stand in love. You know what I'm saying? I encourage you to go deep and dig deep within yourself to really figure out what you want out of this world. Don't allow anybody to speak into your life death. They're supposed to speak life into your life. You know what I'm saying? But you have to understand that what are you going to do is your destiny, not someone else's.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
if your
right.
destiny is what God, and if you're following what God needs you to do, if you don't know how to listen, if you don't know how to meditate, if you don't want to, if you want to do whatever you want to do, fine. I can't change your mind, but realize that your outcome is going to be insanity. And insanity is
yes.
what? Doing the same thing over
doing
and
the
over
same
again,
thing
expecting,
over and over,
expecting
a different result. That's it. That's all it is. That's all it is. Again, thank you so much for calling in and giving us that wisdom. Really, really, really. And spreading that joy to us. You know, our joy guru, we need you. We need you. Keep sharing
you.
It, okay? Love you too.
All righty.
Peace. Look, we got some work to do.
We got some
family.
Work.
We have work to do. We have to start mending that broken heart. We have to understand, really, we feel pain differently. Some people are experiencing so much pain right now that they're numb. They can't think. They can't feel. There's nothing there. They just feel like zombies. They feel hopeless. And so we have to, you know, we all play a part. You don't know when God's going to ask you to play your part. You don't know when God's going to say, look, I need you to speak just a kind word to this person. You don't know when God is going to come to your life and say, right here, you're going to decide whether this is going to be a pop-off that's going to turn violent or whether you're going to be able to say some words to quell a heart. People right here. And so it's 100% so important that we stop what we're doing and recognize that at any given moment, we could be the deciding factor as to if we're going to have a moment for healing or if we're going to continue to pick the scab, okay? Now, things scab because there's a wound underneath it already. And trust me, everything about America is a wound, okay? From second one, it is a wound. And so picking this scab, not allowing it to heal, keeping the dirt in it so it's infected. No, that's not going. We're all connected. We're way too connected for us not to be paying attention to each other's trials and tribulations. Again, we are all part of the problem, and we are all part of the solution. You may not think your neighbor got a solution for you, but I promise you they do. We have to stop thinking. We have to stop looking for certain people to be the leaders and understand that God has put a mission within you. You know, so don't stop looking for Jesse Jackson, okay? Stop looking for Al Sharpton. Leave the Nation of Islam alone, you know? Some, the black churches, they ain't even opened up yet. Leave all of them alone. You know, we have some other things, some other issues, some other challenges. God gives each one of us a personal mission, a personal range of operation for us to begin to do our own healing. Someone looking at you can start their healing process because you have given them a permission that they may not have had. So we have to start thinking like that, family. Start really building on that. I'm going to grab this last caller, and then we're going to move into, of course, the prayer portion. But we got to start talking about mending America's broken heart. Greetings. Welcome to the show. Greetings.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me now?
Got you.
Hello?
I can hear you. How are you?
Oh, great, great. I apologize. How are you? This is Red Tail.
Oh, Red Tail. How do we begin healing this broken heart? How do we begin to start those steps?
Man, oh, man, oh, man. Well, I broke my own heart, and I'm 43 now, and I'm mending it as we speak. But you know what helped me to, you know what feels my cracks and what helps that to feel whole. The other day, the day after the riots in my particular area, I went out and cleaned up. And that made me feel good. It made me feel like these people that are standing here crying because their business is lost has some hope because other people came to at least give them some solace and help them straighten up some. And so for me, I know that my healing comes in service.
Okay.
You know, service to myself first and healing myself and making sure that I'm paying attention to the things that's necessary for me to be balanced, to have pride in what I'm doing in my works. And you know, I know that, you know, as a masculine and as a man, being a good father, you know, and then from there to know that I can make a difference in my local community, whether it be internet community through a spiritual connection or through a more social, you know, whether it be through games and fun or more of a educational or political, or if it's more hands-on where, you know, what I did was after I went and cleaned up the local neighborhood mart, I said, you know what, how am I going to clean someone else's block and not clean my block up? And without, you know, and I didn't know that I had to, I didn't think that I would have the energy to do it. I just took one bag with me. However, I winded up throwing the whole block and filling up like four or five more bags of trash by myself. And I don't know where the energy came from. I don't know why I wasn't bored. I'm assuming that whether it be the great spirits or Allah or higher power just kept me company and really helped me to stay balanced while all of this chaos was going on, to know that I am okay and this can be okay for me. Just do what feels good for you.
So
that's what I just wanted to share, my personal.
I have a question for you, if you got five more minutes.
Yeah.
When it comes to doing work like what you said, you're out here by yourself. I'm sure people looking at you. How do you maintain yourself by yourself? Because what I'm talking about is not the popular thought. I have not heard too many people, especially spiritualists, calling for amending or calling for healing or reconciliation, you know, because everyone is understandably mad. You know, how do you find the courage or the heart to kind of, you know, not be afraid to stand on your own or stand by yourself?
Well, when you personally, I'm not by myself. I had plenty of company. You know, a higher spirit was with me throughout the day as a part of, I didn't feel alone at all, although I knew I was alone. And I didn't feel like I was doing it alone. Although people walked up to me and spoke to me, people said, good job. You know, one person even, you know, I guess the guy wanted me to pay him to do it. I'm not paying you to do this, dude. I'm just doing this. So that, but for me, the realization that I can't control everybody else. I can only control myself. And that through some good actions, or at least some ethical actions, or some, you know, at least some moral competent actions, that other people will see as an example and then continue that forward progress as far as the energy is concerned. I'm not a Christian, but you know, I do know that Jesus wasn't speaking to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I'm not I grew up a Muslim, but I know that Muhammad was not speaking to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I read the Noah story, but I know that Noah was understanding that he was not going to save most people. And so for me, I look at it from a perspective of, I want to be one of the ones that would be picked out. And the best way for me to make sure of that is to be the best representation of what I think that would look like, despite despite the filth that exists within around me, which I call the city of Philadelphia or Filthadelphia.
Okay.
You know, and I own a nonprofit, and we do beautification cleanups and stuff all the time. So I'm, you know, I'm coming at my city from a perspective, and then that's another thing. I'm not going to speak on it unless I'm doing something about it. And so I'm not going to speak on the rioting unless I'm offering an alternative to the riots. You know, and so that's a way for me to stay balanced within all of this, even if I stand alone, which I have lost quite a few good friendships and good partners with respect to communication, at least, because I'm not interested in you burning down the local pharmacy. Because while you may have a car, you 40 or, you know, 30, 40, 50, you can move around. Even if you don't got a car, you can get on SEPTA and go to the, you know, to the suburban markets to get your stuff. You know, I have elders on my block that have a hard time walking three blocks. And no markets, no pharmacies, no stores are open within a 2-3 mile radius of where I live at right now. And so the ramifications of children's actions, whether called for or not, needs to be considered by the adult population, particularly if you're out here advocating for the violence, for the destruction.
Right.
I mean, you know, my thing is this. If you cool with the fires and the looting, then burn your house down first, because the government own your house too.
Okay.
You don't own your house. The government can eminent domain your house whenever it feels like it. And
that's
so
right.
Burn your house first. And then you're going to say, well, Dad, where am I going to live? How am I going to eat? Then I'm going to have to go ask my auntie, and I'm going to have to put strain on other people in order to fix this problem that I caused. Even though what I did or the destruction that I caused was to something that I did not belong to me, but it still helped you to be more comfortable as far as life is concerned. And at the end of the day, the very people that you are protesting against are going to have to fix the infrastructure that you destroyed because we can't as a community.
And they will back the bill to you, you know.
And, well, not to us, to the taxpayers, to everybody. To everybody,
right,
not
right.
just to us.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right, right. So to stay balanced, to stay humble, to stay considerate of others, to honor and respect the least of us is, for me, is very easy way to find, you know, joy, to find the good, and to find ways to do good amongst the chaos.
Amen. Do good amongst the chaos. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing not just your ideas and thoughts, but sharing your very personal experience. This is your block. You know what I'm saying? This is your neighborhood. This is, you know, and you have been very, very open about it. And so I think that's I think part of the healing comes when we can share, when we can talk, when we can begin to empathize with each other. That creates an environment for healing. So I appreciate your part in that.
Thank you very much, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're all working. And one thing that the brother said that I really want to pinpoint on is that he says, I can't talk about it and not be about it. Okay, so very important. You got to walk in those steps in order to really have an idea as to what it takes to do this work. I mean, this is not, you know, it looks glamorous on TV. It does. It's not. It's not. It's really pretty ugly, pretty basic. you know, pretty boring. Like, you know, it's not what they make it out on TV, okay? It's not a bunch of cameras in your face and microphones. It's not that. It's really grimy, gritty. It's heartbreaking. Any person who's good with the violence, you know, I question what kind of parent you are. Not trying to call no names out. What kind of parent are you? What kind of parent are you? Every parent that's came on the line has mentioned their children, because all I see are my children out there. That's all I see when I see these protesters. And I remember being in college. I remember protesting. I remember tearing stuff up. I was a baby running wild. You know, what they say, the brainwashed child running wild. That's what these children are doing. They're afraid they want to be heard, and so they're expressing themselves without fully knowing what's going on, without understanding that they're brokenhearted. You know, I'm sure Chief says brokenhearted at 10. I'm sure at 10 he didn't know what that even was or how that could have been. I bet at 11. Now, if from 10 to 40, if it takes that long to heal, you know what I'm saying? So when I say we all heal in different ways because we all feel pain in different ways, we can't sit here and look at these children and say, hey, you can't feel pain like that. They can, and they are. What we have to do is create some alternatives, and that is where the healing begins. We have to start having more of these uncomfortable conversations. We have to start having more alternatives to healing. You know, what we've been doing, it doesn't seem to be producing long-lasting results. So let's try something new. Open ourselves up. Let's open our minds up to what else we can do, okay? I'm a spiritualist. I pray all day from the moment my eyes open to moments right after I close in the evening, okay? This is what I do. This is how I get results. And so what I'm saying is, everyone, use the tools that you have. I've heard some rappers have come out and with this rap and that rap, fine, great, y'all are rappers. Keep rapping, you know. For us social workers, therapists and stuff, you know, I've heard Sister Makita say, you know, I've made a couple extra phone calls because I want to make sure my people are okay. And that's what you do. Look, if you a joy guru, go be joyful. You know, we all have a role to play. And when we start learning to respect each other's gifts, because we're acknowledging that we may be experiencing pain in the same way, you just can't see mine. You know, I might be a different place in my healing than you, but we have to give respect to the energy and then turn around and be compassionate with it at the same time. So I really greatly, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate everybody's contribution. Like I said, Spirit asked me to have this conversation. My co-host was not ready, and Spirit said, no, this one's on you. I need you to talk. I need you to share. I need you to express feelings and everything. And so here I am in a very raw state, sharing pain with the hope to create space for healing and to create a pathway, because there are people that are walking behind me, create a pathway for them to follow through so that they can experience healing. So I greatly appreciate everyone that has made the phone calls to me, the checkup texts, appreciate it, all of that, because I know this is how we're going to get through this situation. This being a healing show, a spiritual show, this being a spiritual show about healing, we have to end it in a prayer. We have to have God come into our conversation. Once God comes into the conversation is automatically elevated. We automatically are elevating these words, allowing these words to be more, hoping that the words that have been shared the way people receive it will be received in love, will be felt in love, so that we can have a place where we can grow from here. So we're asking, we're saying prayers. And, you know, I want to share, there are lots of prayers that I have memorized, but right now I'm so in my feelings and emotions, my brain is kind of shut off. Right now my heart is like pounding and pounding and pounding. I'm not in my brain. I'm in my heart right now. And so I'm going to give what I call a heart prayer. And a heart prayer is just a prayer that you share from your heart to God's ears, where you share what's going on inside of you, and begin to have that, create dialogue between you and your higher power. You know, so these prayers are not written anywhere. They just belong to you, and they belong to God's ears. And I'm going to say it so that everybody can hear me out loud. So, Father, Mother, God, I come before you humbly, as I always do, asking, begging, wishing, hoping, praying for the peace and the harmony to come forward after this wash of pain. God, I understand that growing pains can be quite difficult, but I feel as if America, where we are right now, is going through one of its big growing pains, and I just hope to be on the positive end on the other side of this. God, I ask for safety and protection for all of those, for their health, for their bodies, for their property, for their very basic understandings of life. I ask that you watch over all of those involved in a protest, the riots, the looting, all of them. I ask those that are intentionally trying to create confusion, God, please touch them so that they can begin to understand how detrimental they're being at this moment. Allow them to see the error of their ways and to come forward and to come around to a positive light, to where they're not being destructive, they're not causing hard feelings. God, I ask that all of these politicians and those people that are supposed to be in the good governance of the people, that they be reminded of their job, that they be reminded of the oaths taken, that they'll be reminded that we all are needed to do our part, and their part has a very significant role on others. So, God, no matter how they know you, I ask that you make yourself known to them, and so that they can begin to create new understanding as to what they need to do and how they need to do it. God, I ask that you begin to cool all of the heavy parts, cool the energy as it is not healthy for us. Allow that fire to subside. Allow that energy to pass over us, this bloody, lustful energy. Allow that peace and love to come forward, because I know that love heals all. I know that just our understanding of you alone, you know, you ask us to have that faith of a mustard seed. I know that if we have the faith that this will work in our favor, then it will. So I ask that you go and create positive footsteps for us to walk in so that we can be led in the proper direction, which is you. So I ask these things in your name. I ask that all of the hurt feelings that are floating around this universe, that they begin to start their healing. I ask that we have balance between the heart, between the mind, between the spirit, so that we can live in harmony without being overwhelmed by either one. I personally give thanks for allowing these young people to have made it home to their mothers. I give thanks for allowing us to stay in our right mind during this troublesome time. I give thanks for knowing and having the basics that I need in life, and knowing that all of this is provided through your hands. And God, I ask that those that do not have, that a way be made for them so that they can go and have and they can feel whole within their families. I ask these things in your name. Thank you. Amen.